Mike, turn your games down.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another movie episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Hubbardon. And who's eating some clam chowder and lobster rolls with me tonight?
You had nothing better?
Nope.
Okay. It's Tiffany Alberton, and that's all I got.
This is Joe Butler, and may my righteous sword of Damocles cut through these wicked sinners' souls.
I am the Let's Play Princess Phoebe Stanton, and I have a quick question for Tiff.
Yeah.
While you guys were in Boston, did you have a Pathaka have a yad?
Say what now? I didn't hear you.
Did you have a Pathaka have a yad?
No, I have no idea what you just said.
You ever Pathaka and have a yad?
Joe got it.
Yeah, I got it.
I do not get it.
Did you ever park the car at Harvard Yard?
I don't know.
Oh, Mike was driving.
I parked near Quincy Park, right? Quincy Market.
Like the one thing that everybody has to say with a Boston accent at least once in their life, that and clam chowder.
I just can't get over because we went to the place that you recommended and it said clam chowder and lobster and didn't say clam chowder and lobster. It's lobster.
Lobster.
Oh, the one in Faneuil Hall?
Yes.
Lobster.
How was it?
Fucking good.
He had a bowl of clam chowder everywhere we went.
Even the airport.
Even the airport. That was my idea. And at the airport, I think it was literally like $15 for a bowl.
It wasn't 15, it was 12.
12 for a bowl.
Come on now, get your overpriced clam chowder right.
Not a bowl. It was literally a coffee cup.
I was upset. Clam
I was too. I was like, is that your bowl? Yeah, it was a coffee cup of clam chowder.
It was too good.
It was good. What did I have?
I don't remember.
Boston cream pie.
You had a few of those.
No, I didn't.
You got Boston cream pie at the bakery in Quincy Market, too.
Okay, but this was fancy.
Yes, it was also more expensive. Not as good. The little, like, place in Quincy Market that we went to that had sweets was also really damn good.
I kept being
Quincy's.
Yeah, but you also had a Boston cream pie, too, once. Because you had to have it because you're in Boston.
Oh, okay, sure.
You're about the underground one, right?
I think we didn't go to an underground one.
Did we go to the outer part of Faneuil Hall where there's like a Quincy Market where there's just like a bunch of little stands selling toys and stuff? There's a staircase. If you go downstairs, there's a place called Quincy's Place that is a ice cream parlor, candy store, and little mini diner, and they're really good food.
I don't think we didn't find that. The only thing I found downstairs was there one was a little like store selling like Revolution stuff from the 1700s.
And then
a bathroom. That's all I remember.
See, why weren't you in Boston when we needed
you? Yeah,
Phoebe.
Because I'm an idiot.
So we should get to talk. We are here to talk about Boston, apparently. But the movie we're here to talk about is Boondock Saints.
Yes.
Directed and written by Troy Duffy. Woo! And came out in 1999 in Denmark, in 2000 in the United States.
In Denmark?
Mm-hmm. Denmark was only 1999, then January 21st, 2000.
Yeah, it seems like this movie had a little bit of a problem with a certain trench coat mafia event.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
This movie got pushed around a little bit because of the Columbine shooting.
Oh!
We're like, oh!
I forget about that event. Not to take away from it, but all the other terrible events have happened since then. I forget about that one.
I guess I just didn't. It didn't click with me.
And a high school shooting is like, oh, it's Tuesday. Unfortunately.
Nowadays.
It is, but that was like of its first.
What year was Columbine?
I want to say it was 95. So.
Okay. Yeah. Anything after that was an issue and because it became a thing about Columbine. Like, what is it? Doom had a lot of issues whenever it came out. Grand Theft Auto. Very specifically, was on the news like every other fucking week.
Yeah. It was a bad. It's sad. It's like I forget about that stuff because at this point, violence has become so natural with our country. So it's like, oh, they're shooting. Okay.
Which I feel is worse.
It is worse. I mean, the fact that it's like I'm numb to it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't worry, my residents sobbing.
Don't worry, Mike. There is a South Park episode for you.
Of course, there's a South Park episode for everyone.
That episode's so fucking good.
Yeah, it is. What happened at school today, Stan? Oh, what? That somebody shot at the place? Oh, but did you get an A on your test?
Oh, okay. I can just imagine this.
So when was this movie filmed then? Like the early mid 90s?
I'm not entirely sure, honestly. I can check that real quick.
Okay.
With a budget of $6 million.
with a bunch of actors who were still low-key no-name.
Low-key no-name. Well, because, let's see, I think he did Powder before this, but nobody knows what Powder is.
Powder's not that bad.
I like Powder. No, I like Powder. I think he did, Sean Patrick Flannery did a good job in that one.
Oh, holy shit. This just got a lot deeper than I was expecting.
Oh, what happened?
Production. Troy Duffy's screenplay was inspired by his disgust at seeing a drug dealer taking money from a corpse across the hall from his apartment.
Oh, yes. Oh. I read that as well.
A bartender and bouncer had never written a screenplay before. He completed the screenplay in fall of 1996 and passed it to a producer's assistant at New Line Cinema to be read by a senior executive. Screenplay changed hands through multiple studios, and Duffy was approached by multiple producers for the rights. March of 97, he was contracted by Paramount for $500,000. Later in the month, Miramax won a bidding war to buy the Boondocks Saints.
Huh. It said, where did it say? I think it was Wikipedia said that him and his brother used to imagine pretty much this. That's where it came from. Like, imagine doing this to bad guys. Huh. Poof, the Boondock Saints.
Oh, and I see the movies that he wrote and directed. The Boondock Saints. The Boondock Saints 2.
Who has seen the Boondock Saints 2? All Saints Day.
Two of you, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I've seen it.
What did you think of it? I'm curious.
I didn't think it was that bad, but
I did not like it. Yeah, it's not as good as the original, but I don't know. It's been a while. I don't think I liked it because it didn't live up to the first one.
No, nothing can. Like, I'm very curious about how they're going to do a third one.
Exactly, because it's not going to have the... Your dog is snoring. Sorry. It's not going to have the same vibe at all. So it's
it won't have the colorful language of this movie.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, it will.
Oh, it better.
No, but not the same, like, the fact that this is written by a guy who isn't a writer, really.
It didn't age well, okay?
No, it didn't.
Oh, and I was talking about the soundtrack. Troy Duffy's band did the soundtrack.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Oh.
That's why it sucked ass.
Mike, you are in mainstream Boston. I can tell you, some of the language in this movie definitely holds up.
Yeah, I was like, this is South Boston. We probably didn't want to go there. That's like the west side of Minnesota.
West side of St. Paul.
I was going to say, Ted and Ted 2 came out recently, and I'm pretty sure they can also prove that the language has not changed over there recently.
So, Tiffany, you actually met Sean Patrick once, Flannery.
Oh, you want me to tell
the
story?
Yes, I do.
I want to start out with, he was super nice. I have to tell the mini story about the little girl in front of me. I can't remember why she was meeting him, but she was telling him about her guinea pigs. I have guinea pigs, and they're both girls, and their names are, I can't remember what she said. And he said, well, it's a good thing you have two guinea pigs that are girls, otherwise you'd have a lot more guinea pigs. And so I was like, I'm in love with this man already. And so even back then, I was obsessed with the Boondock Saints, and I had a commissioned drawing done, and that was when artists actually drew their pictures and didn't digital. I'm not dissing digital, I'm just saying he actually drew it by hand, okay? And so he actually drew it by hand and mailed it to me, and it's awesome, and so I had him sign it. He was like, oh, this is badass, and he signed it on Norman Reedus's side. And I'm like, it's not like you're playing a character. This looks like your face. What's going on here? And he's like, oh, this is a thing that me and Norman Reedus do, you know, to make sure it's authentic. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm looking at this guy. I was like, you are high as fuck. I know you are. And so I'm still waiting to meet Norman Reedus to tell him that story. It was still cool. He's still super nice. I'd meet him.
It will look cool when you have it signed by both of them. It will look.
On the opposite.
It will still look really cool. That's gonna be a frame. That's something that we're gonna have to frame.
And on the opposite side.
It will still look cool once you have both.
I can have the story to go with.
Yeah, it's a great story, especially if Norm Reed's like, "What the fuck?"
He was high as fuck. I can. If I pull up the picture, you can tell. I got my picture with him.
I wasn't there, unfortunately. I was at work. that day.
Yeah, I was like, bye, have fun.
Plenty of fun at a FedEx on a Saturday. Woo, great times. So this movie is, we're covering this movie because we did a Patreon, and Tiffany wanted me to do this. And Patreon people voted for it. I had seen this movie back in early 2000s in high school. I wouldn't say 2002, 2003. My friend had this on VHS for some reason, and I never heard the movie before. He brought it over, and we watched it, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of, well, this is fine. And then later on, I bought a two-pack with this and Fight Club in probably like 2008. And I remember being like, oh, these are so cool.
That's an interesting double.
And I hadn't really thought about the movie. I hadn't watched it since then until... We didn't watch it together, actually.
No.
We've been together like 8-9 years. We never saw it. And you love this movie for some reason.
I cannot tell you how I became obsessed with it. I don't remember the first time I watched it. I don't remember who I watched it with. I don't think I saw it in theaters. I just remember I became obsessed. I really liked the concept of the whole movie, like the vigilante. I just thought the movie was really cool.
You ever heard of Punisher?
No, I saw that. That was stupid. that movie was stupid. I think it was purposely stupid, but it was stupid. My favorite scene. Oh, for fuck's sake! That was my favorite.
Yeah,
scene.
Warzone. All right. Joe, what is your history with this movie?
I've never seen this movie. I think
you did now.
I think Norman Reedus is like probably top 10 attractive men. I didn't even know William Dafoe is in this fucking movie. That actually caught me off guard, too.
He's so good in this
movie. He's really good in this movie. He's
really good.
And Phoebe knows what I'm talking about. There's a couple things, you know, you watch stuff and they make jokes about Boondock Saints and people talking, because it's like the one of like the most edgiest movies like known to man. What was it? I also know people usually make fun of this whenever, which one day... I will make Mike do it for the show, but it's long as fuck, so I don't want to make him do it. The police chief for LA Noir is Irish, and like he legit talks like that, where he's like, "Go in there, boy, and let them smite them with your holy sword," and like it's like crazy as fuck, and like every other mission is just him talking like that, and you're like, yeah. Boondock Saints.
I like that game. I was like, Mike should absolutely do that game because
it's just the longest fuck. It's long as fuck, though. That's the only reason
why. I beat it before. Wasn't too bad. Oh, no, I'm surprisingly really good at beating games quickly. So
I just put RuPaul on and he zones out.
There's that, too. Phoebe, what is your history with this movie?
I believe I rented this via Netflix's DVD queue before streaming even existed. I don't even remember how I heard about this movie, because surprisingly, being from Dorchester, nobody... No, Hollywood Video, no Blockbuster. I don't have any memories of seeing this film on any shelf.
Yeah, but she was in Boston.
Yeah, just one day I came of age, and that natural Bostonian psychic link of you have to watch the Boondock Saints just clicked. And I was like, I have to watch the Boondock Saints.
Is this from Boston?
Is this movie a big deal in Boston?
It used to be. I don't think it's as much as it used to.
Yeah, I know, because I watched a lot of crime documentaries. I know Boston had a lot of crime at one time. A lot of mafia stuff and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I know somebody in my family knew Whitey Bulger, so.
The guy that was, he's the guy who's been on the run. He was on the run for the longest out of any mafioso.
Yeah.
Until they caught him in a retirement home in Florida or California, one of those states. Under a fake name, but that's neither here nor there.
He's just trying to retire. Leave him alone.
He tried, so they caught him and brought him back in handcuffs.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
And his wife got arrested too.
Oh.
The movie is probably a bigger deal in Southie than I'm probably aware of, and that's because of how much of it is based in that Southie culture.
Near where I was in Boston, right? Than where I visited.
Trying to tell.
No, you were in. Oh. I was gonna say you were in like North Boston to West. I was gonna say Marlboro was. Over by the west, isn't it?
Egan, west side.
Yeah,
I'm speaking Minnesota now. Egan, west side.
Yeah, and so you weren't anywhere near Southie, as far as I'm aware.
No, we were in Quincy Market area.
We stayed in the touristy. Well, we were in Marlboro, or however
you call it. Yeah, we were there for a convention, so we stayed a couple nights there.
It was like an hour outside of Boston.
And then we were somewhere near Salem. I forget what town it was.
The website for the convention said Boston.
They lied.
They lied. Listen, to
it's,
me.
It's like if you go to Rhode Island and you type Providence. 90% of that state is Providence. 50% of Massachusetts is Boston and the Boston metro area.
Just like most of Minnesota is. The Twin Cities.
Yes, see, you get it.
It's not at all, but yeah, people think that.
That's what they think. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from Eagan. Where? The Twin Cities. Oh!
On my job, they always ask me, where are you at? I'm like, I'm in St. Paul, Twin Cities. Twin City. I'm not. I'm close, but close enough. Yes. That's what I always tell people.
The Twin Cities.
So this movie, and I was watching this again, like, I knew most of it, but God, did I had forgotten how much this movie feels like something from the 90s.
It is something from the
90s. No, I know, but the language, and there are things about this movie that really bother me. For some reason, the cuts in this movie really, really bother me. The transition every single time, black screen, next scene, like, it just bothered me.
Usually stuff like that bothers me. In this movie, I liked it, and I don't know why. Because usually I don't like when they're like, current, rewind, and I don't like that.
I mean, it's one of the guy's first movies, if not his first movie, so...
It's like his first and one of his only ones.
Yes.
Yeah, see, so there's not going to be that much editing to it. I'm going to make a guess and say that the Hollywood studios just kind of let him do whatever he needed to do to tell his story.
For $6 million.
Plus, that's not much money for a movie.
No. Number two was a budget of $8 million.
Wow.
I know. I had to Google it. I thought it was more. I thought it was like 16.
10 years later.
10 years later.
So that money even means less than what it did.
I'm also like, I'm low-key hoping to start doing this to more people. I know all of us here are movie buffs. I wish Bill was here so I can start embedding into his brain too. But this is your typical, like, you know, people against evil people kind of movie. And one thing that me and... Me and my husband don't really look for it, but we think about it a lot. And then we, at some point during a movie, we see what year it's made. And it's funnier because the closer the year you get to it, the more the before and after is a little bit more noticeable, which basically the concept of every idea is, was this movie made pre or after 9/11?
Yeah.
And one thing you can tell by this movie is this was pre 9/11 because one of the facts is that they're fighting the mafia. If it was after 9/11, they'd probably be fighting the mafia, who are secretly terrorists. Or you go into a fact to where
you fight terrorists flat out. Probably.
Yeah, it would be 100%.
Yeah.
Or one thing that's always really funny too, because I think Walking Tall is after 9/11. The main character or characters are back from the war. Which war? We're not going to say which war because we don't want to date the movie.
Back from the war. I mean, there's always some sort of war going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
Not that the U.S. acknowledges, but yes.
There
yes.
always.
But it's always the war where there was desert.
Oh.
Well, that also defines the early 2000s for America, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hell, even into like almost 2020, they were still in Afghanistan. I forget when they finally pulled out of Afghanistan, but it was late.
One of the big noticeable changes is go rewatch Iron Man 1 and then compare that opening to the comics, where in the comics I think it's their Asian one of that their Asian it's an Asian like evil group that kidnaps him, and then they change it to an Iraqi terrorist group that kidnaps him.
That makes sense because the 60s would have been closer to World War II and stuff. So
yeah,
when Iron Man first comes out, so okay,
and Iron Man 1 is like 2005.
Yeah, it's right around there. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, and I didn't really think about that when I was watching this movie, because they are fighting Russians and mostly Russians and Italians in the very end, the mob. But the main, I mean, they're, because this movie's really broken up in a few different parts where they have like, what, three essentially attempts of killing people they do?
Attempts.
Well, not really attempts, but.
I mean, they succeed pretty well.
Yeah.
There's three major crime scenes, which I'm amazed they didn't redo the first two, because that third one's probably the best one of, like, the whole movie.
Oh, the porn place?
Okay, four. There are four. Well, if you count the last one, there's five. So, yeah, there's five. But that third one, I'm surprised they didn't redo all of them, because, like, William Dafoe, like, talking through it and walking through it is, like, the coolest way they could have done that scene.
I mean, just... the way the movie starts off, you don't even know what the hell's going on. It's pretty quickly when you have Bob Marley, actually, We found out one of the detectives that gets everything wrong and buys coffee, his name is Bob Marley.
Yeah, his real name's Greenlee. Or, yeah, the character's name is Greenlee.
Yeah, Greenlee.
Onion bagel. Cream cheese.
With cream cheese. Greenlee. Yeah, anybody want some coffee?
You get this coffee. But we just couldn't get over when we found out his actual name is Bob Marley.
Who does that to a white child?
So I IMDb'd him earlier. How they say that Rocco's full name is David Della Rocco.
That's the actor's name as well.
Yeah, that is the actor's name.
me and Mike had a minor argument about this.
Well, not minor.
He's like, that's the actor's name. I'm like, yes, it's the character's name too. But it was like a who's on first thing for a little bit.
Yeah, that's accurate. Someone else gets that reference besides just me.
I get it. I could recite it.
What, Abbott and Costello?
Yeah. Okay.
Somebody get. Come on, now it's not as.
The only reason I know it is because there was a CCR song with John Fogerty, and they took. Put me in, coach, and some weird radio station we listened to on AM in the 90s.
The 90s.
Penises were a thing. Someone gets that dumb joke.
I get that dumb joke.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah.
Abstract art.
But in the night, someone took that Abbott Costello thing and pieced it together whenever he wasn't singing, and you had instrumentals, and you would hear that in between the song. That's how I was introduced to that.
Oh no, my grandfather had the cassette tapes. I've listened to. Almost all of Abbott and Costello.
No, it was probably my dad.
It was your dad, 100%.
Oh.
Somehow I just know it's his fault. It's okay. But no, like, this movie starts off, like, you get introduced to the brothers. You don't see a whole lot before you get into them fighting in the bar.
They're fighting at their workplace. They punch a lady.
Oh, yeah, they do that, too.
Yeah, they punch the... Who is that? That's one of the actors from Glee, but I don't know what her job is in Glee.
It is?
Yeah, it's not it's not Sue, but it's one of the other major teachers. It's the one who comes out as transgender about halfway through the show.
She didn't get past the first season.
No, I didn't. It was so long. Because I'm used to like Netflix 8 episodes, and I'm like, they're not even halfway through yet.
It's like, you were like 20 episodes. I'm like, aren't you done with season 1? She's like, no, I'm not! And then the show got turned off.
You didn't miss much. Don't worry.
It's just too long.
I couldn't handle it either. I'm like, this is so stupid. But then again, that's high school, I guess, right? Lots of stupid issues. And
they're all like 30 years old anyways.
Okay, I forgot they punched the woman in there.
Rule of thumb.
That was so stupid. That also fit like... Like, how much, you can't do much damage with that. He's looking at his thumb.
Should have been rule of wrist.
It's so stupid. Like, I mean, it's a joke about domestic abuse, and it's funny in this movie, but it's so stupid.
I love it.
And it's charming somehow. In the same time, I'm like, damn, this movie did. And then, like, the thing with the fight with the Russians in the bar, now that is, I enjoyed that. I think that's funny as hell.
Fuck ass!
And it's the perfect way to be introduced to Rocco and the entire team dynamic, is they're just all getting pissed together.
But, like, who thought it was a good idea to tie the guy up to the table and light his ass on fire?
I don't know.
Like, what do you do? Just laugh at him, then put it out? All right, it's okay, buddy. You can get out now. Like,
Chekhov McCoy. We need Spock.
That was fucking hilarious. That there's a Star Trek reference
I'm
like
just
that.
I'm going to start quoting the whole movie for you guys.
I didn't think you'd be able to. We haven't watched the movie since we've been together. We've been together 8-9 years.
I was just, like, quoting it throughout the... And he'd be like, that's impressive.
Like, we watched Ghostbusters, and we hadn't watched it together, and you just start quoting the movie.
Oh, God, yeah. Everybody should be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the bartender at this local little bar. And yeah, bars like that exist. You know, Sunny's used to exist.
Oh, I love fuck ass.
So fucking hilarious.
In this movie, talking in front of the nuns,
you doing the cross thing.
And then he has to go to the kid. Now, none of those curse words were pointed towards you. He's not talking about you.
Well, in between that, when it cuts to like when Defoe is at the first crime scene, like the way he does it is. I wonder how much was, like, at this point, I'm pretty sure it was just William Dafoe being William Dafoe. I'm sure there was not much direction.
I feel like half this movie was ad-libbed.
Had to been.
100%.
Probably. Do y'all want to hear my most favorite Willem Dafoe fact of all time?
Yes.
Do you remember Heaven's Gate?
Yes.
What? Oh, you're talking about the cult, right?
Yeah. Willem Dafoe was part of Heaven's Gate. They kicked him out.
What? What the fuck? Why did they kick him out?
He kicked him out because he wasn't serious about it. Apparently, apparently they were setting up a stage to talk to people. Willem Dafoe kept making jokes the whole time, and they got pissed off and kicked him out.
There's a really good documentary on Max about that cult, by the way.
There is, but I did not watch it.
Well, you didn't know Willem Dafoe was part of it,
Go watch it.
He wasn't mentioned in there. That's cool, because had he joined the cult, he might have died, so.
Oh, no, I think he joined just to see what it was about. Like, he was purposely fucking with them.
Oh, okay. They did drive around the country and try to get people to join, and people did, but it wasn't until way later when they got close to the point when they were going to kill themselves.
Was this before or after he was famous?
Before.
This is probably before.
Okay.
I mean, Dafoe did a lot of fucking movies when I was looking at his filmography, but I feel like he wasn't really famous till Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, no, because what did he start around the 80s with Street of Fire?
So what was that one? What was that one I said he was in?
Mississippi Burning?
Yeah, I was like, oh, he's kind of cute in this movie. What the fuck happened?
Oh, Willem Dafoe could definitely get it. Yeah, Willem Dafoe could still get it. I need to watch The Lighthouse.
Damn, he is the prettiest woman in this entire movie, Tim.
Okay, you know, that's exactly what I said, too. I was like, how is it that he's not super attractive as a guy, but he makes a pretty woman, okay?
He did not.
I did.
I have seen enough drag queens with a RuPaul. No RuPaul drag queen. No,
privileged to see the best of the best. You don't get that.
Yeah. He didn't cinch, and he didn't tuck, and he didn't glue down his wig, but he put on some
I hate
makeup.
How I understand everything you just said.
Mike, go watch Tu Wan Fu.
I want him to.
I don't want to. Thank you guys for not voting that movie in,
no,
by the way.
I want him
oh,
to.
No, I. Looks like we know what we're voting next time, right?
Yeah.
If only someone that was on this podcast didn't control
it. Because you put a Boston movie on there, and I went, oh, fuck me, I have to vote for that.
No, we're doing two on
here. I've never seen it, so I'd be up for it.
It's good. But
it's no, about watching. Wait, who is the one drag queen? Courtney Act?
Yeah, Courtney Act.
I mean, that is when she came on RuPaul, like, I remember I walked by and she was in drag, and normally I can tell. I'm like, I 100% thought it was, yeah, you could not tell.
There's a couple of them.
I'm like, damn, like these people are really good at drag.
But she's a pretty boy too. She's hot as a boy too.
But man, I was like, I watch a lot of RuPaul. But yeah, that's what I think about too. I'm like, you know, like when he fools the mafia, you know, in the very end when he fools the mafia guys, I'm like, kind of like.
I remembered something else too, speaking of Willem Dafoe, which is actually even funnier.
Yes.
We're going to make fun of Willem Dafoe for just a little bit. They all, I forget which movie it is, but I think it's the one where he talks about nailing hammers into his dick. Apparently, his junk is too big, and it pissed everyone set off, so they had to give him a prosthetic. So that's also something that he's, like, unknowingly proud of.
Why is that information that I already knew?
I don't know, Phoebe.
I did not know this, but I'm very glad to know this.
Man, he plays such a good character in this, and the way he goes so from good. Just being the like when he throws in the little bit like just the different tendencies where he's showing more that the you know that he's gay, like with all that, it is great the way
and it starts off right in the first scene. He's listening to opera. He's got this like little bit of the wrist twisting and everything going on.
Kind of the hip sway.
It's great. It's really good and. Like, for the most part, it's not played in a derogatory way. No. Except a couple of lines where I'm like, this is where the movie didn't age very good.
What the fuck are you doing? I was trying to cuddle.
Like that one.
Wrong. As a gay man who cuddles his husband, I've been told that numerous times, so it's fine.
He didn't like the scene where the fat man scene. He didn't like that scene.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't like they use that word multiple times in the movie because when I was younger in high school, used that word way too much because I was an idiot. So I don't like that.
I need to show you that South Park clip real quick, Mike. It's okay.
Oh, that one.
I love that episode. It's true.
I mean, that was some of the stuff where I'm like, yeah, they use a lot. And they also use an R word that I don't like either at one point. And I'm like, eh, like you could have. those are a couple things that just, like, I'm so, like, yeah, it is an age.
I'm like, wait a minute, I'm trying to now think of what our words you're talking about.
I'm not going to say it, so.
So that then answers my other question, because I didn't think about that either. Do they assume that he's gay, and they do that to try to push a button to piss him off?
I felt like as the movie progressed, they realize that he's gay, and
they realize he's gay,
and they're doing things to piss him off. Yes,
cool.
Okay.
The cops.
I was like, this is Southie.
Well, when the fat guy gets killed, and
I feel like that was a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, okay. But also, I don't understand.
Think they're doing it to piss him off. I think Greenlee probably is, but I think the other two are very much trying to impress him.
Oh, yeah.
And therefore, the slip of the tongue, they were like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my opinion.
That's probably fair.
Because you see how proud they are when he was like, you are correct.
Yeah.
And they were like, yes, I got an answer right. Suck it, Greenlee.
I love how the whole in the intro scene when Greenlee's there and he's like, we have a big guy jumped off here and he crushed them.
He's freaking huge.
Like, yeah, and then when you do see
everyone coffee today,
when you do see that scene, like, where he takes a toilet and throws the toilet off the top of the building and then jumps on the other guy, like,
I'm like, is that physically possible? But I suppose if you have enough adrenaline.
And it depends on how shitty the toilet is secured to the floor.
Yeah.
And how shitty the floor is.
Oh, that was a shitty toilet. Don't worry.
It's a shitty. I mean, they were just essentially just crashing in some random place that wasn't really housing.
Mike, I've known people who lived in that type of situation.
Okay. I mean, I lived in a basement. It wasn't too great. But
could you tear out the toilet if you had to?
You know, I might have, could have, yeah.
Might have, could have.
Might have, could have.
Good thing my resident that's an English teacher isn't here. She'd be scolding you.
Hey, if Bill listens to this, what he would say is language is fluid, especially with Mike. He knows.
Might have,
could have. Might have, could have. That's my new phrase. Might have, could have. I don't know. Mine wasn't bolted. I don't think ours was bolted down because it was a quick fix. So probably could have.
I think you didn't break your ass.
So, yeah. But also, shit, yeah. I mean, I do like that. I like also when they randomly wander into the police station. Not randomly, but they go to turn themselves in.
Greenlee's so upset that he was wrong again. Yeah. Just walk in the bathroom.
So I have the movie playing next to me, just so I can go. We can go through the scenes and all that too. Is this kind of the first sign? Because later, obviously, I don't want to jump around too much, but they later on in the movie, it's revealed that Willem Dafoe's character actually does sympathize with them. Is this like the early sign of telling it? Because when they walk in, they're not immediately arrested. Willem Dafoe immediately goes, look, we can tell it's self-defense, even though it kind of clearly wasn't. And he's like, so why don't you boys just tell me what's going on? You know, you're not under arrest. You're free to go after this, whatever. Is that kind of your first sign of saying like, oh, he definitely doesn't give a shit?
I don't think so. I think it's just a cop tactic to get you to admit the stuff that you don't realize you're admitting to.
Yeah,
probably.
I think it's a little bit later he starts to, well, one, they didn't have enough information to really take them to court anyway with this, because they didn't have guns. The other guys had guns. You could prove that the other guy's shop had guns and were firing them. So it was easy to rule it with self-defense. But I think it's later on he really starts to take their side. But I wouldn't say that. I think it was really just a cop be like, oh, hey, why don't you tell me your life story? I won't use any of this information against you in your confession that we're recording everything you're saying. Just tell me how you feel.
Also, I think part of it is, you helped take down two gangsters. They might have been minor on the totem pole gangsters.
They were soldiers. But,
oh, well, they're off the street. Shake your hand. Thank you, sir. And on your way you go. Self-defense. Check that box.
Soldiers don't matter at all to them. It's they want the underbosses and the captains and stuff.
Well, this is a 90s movie with cops, and I have bias underneath this because my grandfather is an ex-cop and my uncle still is a cop, so I know that there are very, very rarely good ones, and that's very gonna be a very big argument that won't get into, but at a point, yeah, this was the situation. I'm honestly more surprised that this is a movie with cops and none of them are working for the mafia.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. I mean, maybe they were, and that's why they didn't solve the mystery right away.
I mean, to be fair, that happens quite often in real life. So, I watch a lot of documentaries.
I know.
Also, you can kind of tell the year of this, too, because Russians are the villains. So, that's very... as Joel would say, very pre-2001. So we had the Cold War, you have the 80s where the Russians are the villains, and then when you have 9/11 happens, that's when everything goes from Russians to terrorists, Middle Eastern type thing. And we enter that age.
At least we get a scene that explains why it's happening.
The Russians are moving in to make territory, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Iron Curtain came down, so the Russians and the Italians are trying to reach into each other's and make a sort of truce between the two mafias.
Yeah, the Italians aren't having it, though.
Yeah, so some Italians are going to Russia, and some Russians are coming to America, specifically Boston, of all places, despite it, you know, I feel like California would be a hell of a lot easier.
Boston had a lot of crime, though, at one point, and it's close to New York, we did. So makes sense. And you're all the other hubs of stuff, I guess. Hubs. All right. Because I'm looking at my notes. This is when I do like how this movie, like, it has the full kind of, like, you always see the aftermath, and then you go back and see what actually happened. And I'm like with Tiff, I really don't appreciate it always in movies, but I appreciate it a lot in this movie.
You just said you didn't like it.
It was okay at times.
What?
When they're in the cells, you were right. That was a weird scene where the dreams, like they wake up and then the water's dripping on them and they're like, oh, we're being baptized or whatever the fuck
this. We have a revelation. God spoke to us.
We gotta go kill people.
They both woke up at the same time. Clearly, this must have been divine intervention.
It has mm-hmm. to be.
Couldn't be the water from a shitty ceiling leaking on you, nope.
No, but I mean, they were shirtless and they...
Thank God they were.
You know, I may not have many fears, but some fears are actual genuine fears. But if I'm ever walking somewhere and I feel water drip from my head and it pretty sure it's poo water, I'd probably have a panic attack.
So is that what that was? It was a panic attack, not a spiritual revelation.
If they had a spiritual revelation, I would have freaked out by having poo water probably fall in my mouth.
It was all the bacteria taking over their brain.
Okay. Oh, and then I'm not going to tell this joke, but when you have Rocco talking to the boss, when you kind of get introduced to you get introduced to the Italian mobster guy, you get introduced to...
Are you not going to tell the Coke joke?
No. No way in hell.
Tell
that
summary.
That's okay. A joke that you can tell this movie is early 2000, 1999. Like, you can tell it just...
Or maybe Troy Duffy was just a racist.
That's a racist ass joke. I mean, it's so bad.
No, like, don't worry, it's Boston.
It's Boston, and it's
in with the culture, though.
Hell, it fits in with today's culture too. Except they would have had red hats on while they were telling the joke.
Yeah.
Not wrong, am I?
No.
Except the joke would be, one guy wished to build a wall, and the other guy wished for to have another wall around the entire country, not just the southern border. Well, I guess I don't need anything, because I'm an idiot. So that's how it would have been if that had been today. But
I might have to send you a DM later.
But that's how I took it. It's just such a racist, stupid joke that it's just like...
It was supposed to be racist.
I know, and it just... I guess maybe I just don't like stuff like that as much anymore. I mean, it works for the movie. Okay. It fits the tone. Okay. I don't know.
We can move on.
But also, why the fuck is Ron Jeremy in this movie?
They needed a sleazy guy.
I was wondering if he was going to recognize him. He's like, is that Ron Jeremy?
I unfortunately know who he is.
I was like, good job, baby.
Never seen any of his movies, thank God. I don't know who he is.
You have not.
You've seen Ghostbusters.
You seen Ghostbusters?
Yeah, he's walking down the street.
Oh, well. I've never seen any of his other movies, thankfully. I know my dad wanted to meet him, actually, because he was at a strip club that they went to, but there were too many people, so he didn't meet him, but he wanted to.
Ron Jeremy looks like he smells like lunch meat. I'm not the only one who thinks that, right?
No. Now that you say that, no.
But yeah, he does make a good sleazy guy, but I'm just like, why did you get, like...
Because he knew somebody who knew somebody, and he'd do it for cheap.
Yeah,
they were thinking about Italian mafias. They needed a guy who looked like Mario, and Bob Hoskins was whispering, "Never again, never again."
Oh, that is fair.
And Danny even divvied those jokes.
We didn't have much money, so. I mean, God, the Ron Jeremy stuff. I mean, he's only in that. Well, he's in this scene, and he's in one other scene when he gets killed at the strip club.
Killed.
Also, I didn't know those were a thing. Not strip club, but the whole like where you jack off in a box and then you put money out in the dancer. Oh, that's actually what it is.
Nothing surprises me anymore, honestly, dude. That they have those. I think the weirdest moment I've ever had is we went to go see, it was my, I used to go with my aunt and my uncle and my cousin. They go there, they go see my aunt's side of the family. And we were driving down the road, and it was the middle of like San Antonio, and we're passing by these billboards in the middle of nowhere. And all I see, the first one is like video rental store. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then the second one is like adult movie theater. And I'm like, oh, and I think this was like right after like Pee Wee Herman got like arrested. So I'm like, yeah, that also makes sense. And then the third billboard is like adult themed arcade. And I'm like, why the fuck is there an adult themed arcade?
Joe, what you didn't realize is that those were all the same place.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, probably. But I remember when I first saw this movie in early 2000s, I didn't know this was a thing. I also graduated in 06. They're kind of giving my age, would have been later teen. But yeah, I didn't know this was a thing, and I forgot all about this. I'm like, oh yeah!
You were born in November.
Oh, there's a lot of pornographic stores in Boston. You just have to know where to look.
We did not know where to look.
I didn't want to look either. Well, you don't need to look. The internet exists. You get all the porn you need right there. Unless you're in Texas. But you don't get, then you don't get your porn online. You got to go. Hey, no wonder Joe, you were in San Antonio because they were looking to the future, knowing the internet was going to get banned in Texas, so they had to go back to the old fashioned.
That is a deep fucked up cut, sir. And I'm glad you made it.
I just can't. I know it's like the third time I made fun of this now, around the same time people are hearing this, but I just can't get over that.
It's fucking funny, though.
Mm-hmm. It's also fucking funny that right after it happened, VPN searches went up huge in Texas. Weird.
So I have one maybe weird problem with this movie. And you know what it is?
No, but I want to.
crime economy. Fucking both of them go into this guy's back office and they give him, what, like two guns, a couple of watches, and like... and like maybe a roll of like $1,000, and they get so much shit for that money, and it's like there's no way they'd be able to get all that in 1999 economy. You couldn't even get that in today's economy.
No, also
he was like, have at it. I was like,
but he only gave them little bag. They got two small duffel bags. You can fill the bags
with the rope, the 30-pound.
Yeah,
rope.
They needed that fucking rope so much.
That's what I need. That's my favorite part.
Fucking
don't
rope.
You need a fucking rope?
I wonder how, like, I think you mentioned it, Tiff. I wonder how much it was ad lib, and he just picked the rope, and they were just like, what the fuck? That feels ad libbed.
Charlie Bronson uses rope. But, that's what.
Again, places like that exist, like buildings and settings like that in Boston. I can guarantee you the majority of them do not have guns like that.
How do you know?
Not sure about the minority, but the majority doesn't.
how do you know this, Phoebe? She's like, I don't have an answer.
Because I've been to a lot of places.
Oh, like, did you recognize the hotel they walked by? That I'm assuming that's a real place.
The Copley Hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real place. My mom used to work across the street from it.
Oh, that's cool.
Or, like, relatively down the block across the street. But I've been past that hotel walking to Copley Square for food and stuff so many times.
Had Tiff remembered this movie existed, we went to Boston, we probably would have tried to find some of these spots.
Well, like the opening shot, that aerial view where it shows the ocean, that's Castle Island. Everybody goes to Castle Island at least once. Everybody eats at Sullivan's at least once.
We should have went there.
I don't know why, because Sullivan's isn't that good.
See, when we visit Boston again someday after Phoebe moves there, we're going to meet her and have her give us a tour.
It's going to be a lot of weird, weird stuff.
That's
I'm down for that. Let's do it.
As long as I don't have to drive in Boston, I'm happy.
And then y'all can be on Segways like Final Fantasy and Yakuza.
There are no Segways. There are bikes.
And trains.
Yeah, there automobiles. Are a lot of trains.
Trains, planes, and automobiles.
All you need to know is red line, green line, and orange line, and you can get anywhere.
You also got to learn in Boston that honk means everything. Honk is everything when people drive. Fuck you, so I can hear. I'm just getting honked at constantly, and everybody's honking at everybody. I'm like, oh,
what
God.
What happened when we were coming from the airport? There's a lady like this.
It was a three lanes going straight, and she decided she needed to get from the, coming out of a parking lot spot, went in front of all three lanes of cars, and just shoved her way through, and everybody just honking at her and yelling.
It was like 10 minutes of honking and yelling, and we were just sitting there. I'm like, oh, we're never leaving.
That was my experience getting off the airport. 40 minutes of just... I'm like, welcome to Boston.
I don't know how everybody feels about certain words, so I apologize for my upcoming language. That woman sounds like a cunt.
You can say that word. I cannot. You can.
Yeah, you must never say that word.
I don't ever say that word. Only women can say that word.
I say that word. I know what I'm talking about.
So, and you have the stuff with the hotel murder when, like, because first you see them going to the hotel, then you have Defoe at the hotel. That's a great scene when he kind of talks about it. He's like, you guys are amateur. You see this in a movie, in a bad TV. And I'm just like,
little spy guys crawling through the vents. That doesn't happen in real life. That's on TV.
I was also really wondering, what the hell is the rope anchored to when they fall through?
Don't worry about it.
Okay. Because you don't see him clipping anything. I was looking at it the second time I watched this movie.
Heaven. It was attached to heaven.
They get tangled in the ceiling. That's all you need to know.
It is a good scene, though. It's so stupid, but it's hilarious.
Okay, the music there was good. Like, the music right there was good.
But you also right, because you made a comment earlier when we were watching the movie, there's not a whole lot of music in this movie.
No. And most of
but it's all good.
What, Phoebe?
But it's all good.
I was like,
I like the soundtrack to this movie, but, like, that's because the reason why I know locations like the gun place and stuff is because I have friends back home who are members of, like, stoner metal bands, so this is also the type of music that would play anyway.
Okay. But just that whole scene, like, when that's because that's when they first put the coins on the eyes and everything, and that's when the movie kind of gets better, in my opinion, too. And this is when they kind of start realizing, like, hey, we're good at this. Like,
well, because that's their first purposeful kill.
It's a good one, too.
Accidental.
What made them realize to go after a bunch of mob bosses? I don't know, but hey.
God.
Yeah. God told
me. We'll go with that. It's good. And then when Rocco shows up and has the Jafar name tag.
And they decide to fuck with him.
That is so funny. I was just thinking that they leave the door open. When they grab him in, they don't close the door. So anyone in the hallway could just hear them swearing and yelling and threatening to kill somebody.
And see all the people they just
met. Yeah, I'm like, maybe you should close that door.
Hallelujah, Jafar.
But also, like, Aladdin must have not been too long before this movie, I'm assuming.
94?
Because Jafar. Jafar's not a name that I would have, like, Aladdin would have put that name more in the zeitgeist. I forget the definition of it. It's the cultural, one of those words like the Mandela effect, where you think there was a movie with Shazam playing a genie, but there really wasn't.
There is, and I watched it.
Sure you did. It doesn't exist.
There is, and I fucking watched it. 1992 is Aladdin.
Okay.
There is a Shazam, and I watched it.
Then after they tease Rocco, you have them go to Rocco's apartment or Rocco's girl's apartment. I don't know who the fuck apartment that was.
Random girl Rocco knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the woman when she shows up and she just yell and they're yelling at him in unison. That was funny.
Rocco!
Where's my cat? I fucking killed it!
I'm so upset about that cat too, you guys.
Oh my god. Idea. I had to hold close Mr. my Kitty. Eyes.
So upset.
That was one of the few things I remembered about this movie before watching it twice this past week. Because when I first saw this back in the early 2000s, and my friend like, oh, they kill a cat, and just stuck with us. Stuck with me. I also have.
Well, they violently.
They shoot him through the ass. I think essentially.
The ass.
That's what I thought happened. I don't know.
Ooh. No, they just shoot it in general.
Yeah, through the ass. Off. What's wrong with you?
Wasn't the gun behind? I don't know.
Why did you have to do that? That's disgusting. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm. I got three cats around me somewhere, I'm sure.
And a dog who's snoring.
But yeah, no, I didn't like when the cat died. I did find it hilarious when and he's like, what's the name of the cat? And I'll shoot myself. And then they say the name of the cat. He's like, oh, well, fuck you.
What color? What's the fucking cat?
Color, bitch?
Oh, so much swearing in this movie. So much.
That is accurate.
I do like
anyway.
I do like that during the, when they're, like, investigating the scene, William Dafoe starts off in a suit and it ends with him, like, all sweaty and, like, sleeves rolled up and everything.
Yeah, he's slowly more and more getting into this.
Yeah. That is good. If he wasn't in this movie would be a whole lot worse.
I wonder how they got him.
He wasn't famous yet?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't famous
except
yet.
He was more famous at number two. Spoilers. You haven't seen number two.
No, I don't want to.
William Dafoe and what the fuck is it? Nicolas Cage have slowly become the part where they're like, I don't give a shit what I do, I'll do it. But also, they very much do enjoy coming back for like sequels. Because Nicolas Cage has said for like years, he's like, I'll do a fucking National Treasure 3, but Disney doesn't give a shit, so it's never happening.
No, we're never getting a third one, which sucks. Mm-hmm. So that first one's amazing.
The second one was okay.
It's okay.
I love that we're just in a Nick Cage renaissance right now, where everything he has is pretty damn good, honestly.
Yeah.
Let's do a Nick Cage poll.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know what my choice would be, but yes.
Wicker Man has to be on there as a joke.
Never seen that.
It's so fucking boring. It's like only like the last half is good.
He's in a bear suit and he punches a person.
And then,
the best part.
I'm just looking at my notes. You have arguing in an alley, arguing in an apartment.
Your notes suck.
No, but also
I have Rocco losing his fucking mind shooting up the diner.
That's right after that. That's a real diner, I think, too.
Well, because they're so arguing in the alley. This is when they're telling them they set him up because there was eight guys and
he had a six-shooter.
And he's saying no, no, no. And like literally has he really been working 18 years as a package boy for the mafia?
That's very, that's also very like that happens.
Like realistic. Hey, he didn't move up at all.
Yeah, it's realistic.
Honestly, fuck it. I wouldn't want to get that deep in the mud anyways. They end up fucking...
That's true.
Because if they don't give you an assignment to kill anyone, you can't become a made man. So.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I might be okay with that. I'll just be your package boy for my entire life.
I mean, you still make good money. You're still making money.
When can we address the guy in the bathroom? Is he coming up soon?
I mean, not yet.
Not yet, because we still have to go through him shooting up the diner because of that.
Okay, we need to address the guy in the bathroom. Keep going.
The diner part is interesting. I do like how he opens his jacket and shoots the guy through the jacket. I'm like, okay, that's cool, even though it's only done to save money.
Yes.
But it's still good. Oh, also, go back to a really dumb thing. I'm pretty sure what it was. When they kill the fat guy in the Russian thing, I'm pretty sure they used a sleep mask, like an ice sleep mask, and painted it red. I'm 99% sure that's what that... Because when you see his face, you see his eyes are all bulged out.
Oh.
I was looking at it closely. That's 100% one of those,
You're not supposed to look at it closely.
That's what I do. But sometimes, not normally. But I was like, I just was curious because this is such a cheap made movie. I was just looking for things.
You don't think they did all the whole prosthetics? Probably not, because you just laying there.
Yeah, it's like a sleep mask.
Practical effects. Mike, you should watch a trauma movie at some point.
Never seen one.
That's they do.
Trauma movie. Bad movies.
Oh. It depends on who you ask.
You're asking me. I'm pretty sure it would fall under bad category.
Air.
They're weird. What James Gunn was doing before he became James Gunn.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he made a bunch of really bad tweets. And then those got deleted. And then Disney found him years later because for some of the right-wing mafia essentially went after James Gunn at one point. Oh, so.
Did you really just call them the right-wing mafia?
Yes, I did.
Is it because we're talking about the mafia?
I think so. Also, it sounded funny in my brain that it just came out. It was essentially this right-wing nuts that started it. Yeah, everyone listening to the show at this point knows. It fits the topic.
Does it? Because you said mafia?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. But no, the gun scene in the diner I thought was good, where he just shoots the two idiots and then he shoots the bartender.
There's two just random people there like, I'm in for life!
They just do. He's like, I'm an idiot, I shot people in broad daylight! Well, yeah, you are an idiot.
So he runs back to the apartment and he's like, he's taking records and he's taking like pots and pans and he's got this bag and he's just shoving random stuff in there. I'm like, what are we doing? Where are we going that we need LPs to go?
I mean, the pots and pans almost make sense. The LPs don't make any sense.
And they, to be fair, they do use the iron later. But we're not going to talk about this.
We will. Now. Not yet. We're getting there. I have a joke.
But I don't know what the records, and he was taking some other random stuff.
Maybe you don't throw the records at zombies in case zombies came in this movie.
The same damn thing.
But actually, when I think of records, I think of one of those. There's a stupid. I like the song, but I can't remember how it goes. The one, somebody that you used to know, and your friend dropped your record. Like something like that.
What? I always talk about.
I won't. The show doesn't pay me enough. So then it's after all this when they decide to go to the strip club. I like how the reason they go to the strip club, they just drive past it by accident, essentially. And he's like, oh, yeah, that sleazeball goes here every week. I don't know. That part is hilarious when, especially when Defoe does the whole thing when he's like, and he's talking about how the guy went and shot with the guns different ways. He's like, we got ourselves a cowboy.
Fucking Earp.
It's hilarious. There are some good. Okay, there are. I did laugh a lot at this movie. As dumb as this movie is at times, I did laugh a lot at it.
We got ourselves a Kennedy assassination conspiracy theory going on.
I can't believe how much of these lines in this movie are in your head. I really can't believe it.
Well, I can do the one Rocco says in the bar to the Russian if you want.
No. Oh. We don't want that.
Why not? That's super funny.
I do like when Defoe's like, oh yeah, there was a murder at the bar. And he's like, what? He's like, yeah, we didn't tell you because it wasn't important. He's like, what? I do like that. He's so mad at them. So,
somebody's killing a bunch of people around and you think that this isn't fucking related.
When I want your opinion, I'll tell you.
And here's the part that Tiffany has questions about. This is when we get to the bathroom, when he's talking, the mob guy is talking to the other mob guy.
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, is when he gets to the bathroom? Yeah. Oh, so who is this guy? Like, Mike's like he's an underboss.
He's a former boss who's now retired.
So they stick him at cleaning the bathrooms?
He might have done that on purpose himself. Okay. You still want to stay in the game, but so not on top. So you just become... Because everybody talks in the bathroom.
That's true. Mm. But Mike's like, no, he's got a stick. He's blind. I'm like, he's sweeping.
He's blind.
I was like, he's sweeping the goddamn bathroom. No, he's not. And then there's another fast forward. There's another scene and he's got urinal cakes. I was like, he's cleaning the bathroom.
He's throwing the urinal cakes perfectly into the urinals.
He's not even looking. He's just like, choo.
Because he's blind. He's Daredevil.
Blind. He's Daredevil. Yeah, he's Daredevil.
Okay, well, this makes much more sense.
I bet he's got a fancy apartment in New York, too, that he shouldn't be able to afford. It has secret rooms, too.
Oh, my God.
To be fair, a lot of people have those sticks and they just have bad vision. Because I think legally, you have to have one if your vision's, like, under, like, 60% or something like that.
Oh, really? 60, you do?
Yeah, 60% is still a lot, too, which is surprising. But, yeah, no, it's just because I've unironically been seeing a lot of TikToks where people are like, I was at fucking Target and I went to go grab me lunch or something, and he's like, some guy came up to me and started cussing me out because I had a fucking blind stick, but they're like, I have like, he think they said they have like barely any vision in one eye and then no vision in the other, so the guy was basically cussing them out for no reason.
Yeah, oh my God, that's so weird that Joe and I get the same things now. Because YouTube's been giving me shorts recently of some couple, Matthew and Paul, and one of them is blind. So just found out this week that about 85% of blind people are blind, but they have like the tiniest little bit of vision. It's just like, it's so minuscule, like the very, very center of the eye, that you have to have a stick.
Also, it's the game My Mama found effect, where apparently you guys get the same stuff advertised to you.
Probably. But also, Tiff, if you also notice too, I think the mob boss talking to him gives him money, and I think he gives him money to get a lawyer. So it's kind of the idea of, if give an example,
he gives him money to get a lawyer.
Well, to get him out,
get the guy out of prison.
Oh,
yeah,
oh,
okay. El Duce,
El Duce, the Duke.
I thought El Duce meant shit, but okay.
The Deuce.
Mm-hmm. That's what my brain thought yet last night.
You thought the man was called the shit?
I thought that was stupid.
He was the shit.
He was the shit, but you're.
But also, Tiff, if the place was to get raided, you can't arrest the guy who works the bathroom. I mean, he's just kind of in there doing his job.
That's true.
And I say that because it kind of goes into a whole thing, because these were for the prison, and we know about this. Most, like, head cartel members do not have any tattoos whatsoever. That way, if they get caught, there's no proof that they actually run the fucking cartel.
Oh, that's
brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I didn't know that. And I'm a guy
How do you know all of this, Joe?
He was a prison guard.
Yeah, it was prison guard. Prison guard. Yeah, one thing they say to keep an eye out is for whenever if inmates are in a prison, and obviously they still get tattoos in prison the shitty way. And if an inmate suddenly gets a tattoo, you have to report it, and they have to see if it's related to any gang stuff, either prison gang or free world gang.
Oh, that's got to be a depressing job too.
I was hoping you were secretly in the mafia.
Secret Asian Joe.
No.
He's not dumb enough to release that information yet.
Not yet.
And then this is the part that you were wanting to talk about more, is when Rocco tells him about the hitman they're going to go get. And he kind of tells the whole story about the guy that went to the house and killed everybody in the house and then ripped up the carpet and threw him in a dumpster, I guess.
Who, me?
No, that's what happened in the movie.
You're looking at me like I wanted to talk.
No, you want to talk about this is the guy that ends up being in the bathroom. what you want to talk about, isn't it?
I did. I don't remember.
You said about the guy in the bathroom.
No, I think
you meant the other guy in the bathroom.
The other guy in the bathroom.
There's multiple guys in bathrooms in this movie. This is when they go to the.
They knew what I was talking about.
It's almost like bathrooms are super cheap to film in.
What a thought.
They know exactly what I was talking about, the guy in the bathroom.
I got nothing. I got nothing. Okay. Yeah, this is the after, this is when they go after the hitman guy. And I do like the scene because you see the White House they were at and all the bullet marks. And then Defoe's like, you know, there was they had a shootout out here. Six guys.
Oh, there was a firefight. That's my favorite line.
The one time that Greenlee gets one right.
Time he gets it right. He's like, shut up, Greenlee.
One guy with six guns.
Shut up, Greenlee. Shut
up, Greenlee. Like I said earlier, I think this is probably my favorite crime scene part because William Dafoe is actually in there, like talking about it while they're working around him. And I'm honestly
so good.
I'm honestly surprised they didn't redo all the scenes to look like this because it's really, really good.
It's cool. This one's cool. I agree.
It was probably more expensive to film with him in the scene, too. Maybe two
probably.
Oh, like, we don't got time for this. this is the part where randomly at one part he just shoots up in the air.
He's feeling it, okay? He's just feeling the moment.
The more this stuff goes down, the more he breaks down throughout the movie.
And you can
see it's really starting to affect him.
And he looks like he hasn't showered in like 3 days. His clothes are like the same as they've been. They're all greasy.
I didn't have money. Couldn't do another wardrobe change.
They also, it's also a thing too where he's obviously working on the cases, and this is their one, two, their fourth case? And they still haven't figured out who it is yet.
Yes.
Especially because he breaks down because they're like, what is it at the end of the whole scene that it's like, they call him over and he's like, what's up? And he's like, they're like, we can't get a good blood sample. And he pulls it off and he's like, it's pneumonia. Yeah. We can't even get it because they use fucking ammonia. And it's like, oh, he's pissed. Like, he's pissed.
And they're all just watching him.
Yeah,
and then he just stops, like, nothing happened.
And he puts it in his pocket.
And they're all just looking at him, like, what the fuck just happened?
He's like, I'm all right now. And isn't this when he put his hands on his, he puts one hand on a hip when he walks off, too? And I'm just like, that was great.
He's been doing stuff like that throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good. He does such a good job playing this.
Do you see why I loved him in this part?
Great. He's a great actor.
He's good in this part.
You know what really upsets me throughout this entire scene as well?
What?
So we have him talking about Willem Dafoe's like mimicking all the, which is also really cool, where he's mimicking them shooting the guns, and he even like he gets on his knees and leans back, which is also like super entertaining. That dude gets up from the toilet, no wipe. How terrifying is that man?
The
commotion.
There's also gunshots being shot into the bathroom he's sitting in. He knows there's trouble.
But he didn't seem to hurry. Time. Did you see how he took off the towels off the towel rack, folded them, put them on the sink, and then took off the towel rack?
Because he's fucking nuts. He's a meticulous person. He's a meticulous killer. So that's also why.
But plus, my favorite part was when he saw Rockwell and he was like, son of a bitch, I know you.
He also takes like a shot straight to the gut and doesn't even fucking flinch either.
Flinch just goes after Rockwell.
Mm-hmm. In general,
continuing to think that let Rocco take care of it. He says he can take care of it, and they hand him a cue ball.
No, let him go.
They're gonna let the guy just kill him.
He's gonna get killed. Let him go.
I just wonder in this movie how many times when Norman Reedus and Sean Patrick are talking, how much is actually in a script, or how much is just them.
It's probably just mostly
because, especially when you just get a lot of parts where all they're like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. It feels like, that was just them just going at it and having fun.
I mean, if I read a script and half of it was fuck you, I'd be like, so I can do this.
I don't know. But no, it was good. I mean, when he beats him the shit out of the cue ball, I'm like, yep, you know, it's a cheap movie. They don't show the head to see how damaged it is.
Yeah, I thought that too.
And then
lucky we got blood splatter guys. Okay.
Oh man, when they go outside, just the one guy, and when you know the one hitman just standing there, just you know, like six guns.
Billy Connolly.
That's a good scene, and they're just getting shot up. That's such
like
a good
Billy
scene.
Connolly in this as well. He's not in there long, but I like him in it.
And then after this, I don't remember where they go, but they go to the place where they were hiding out, and they start using the iron on themselves to burn all their wounds. And Joe, do you know what came to my mind immediately?
Wait, oh, is it fucking...
Heavy Rain! You can burn your wound, if I remember correctly, with the, if you put the rebar in the stove, you can burn your, you can burn the finger.
Oh, you know what?
It's called cauterizing the wound.
Yeah.
Speaking of heavy rain, I want to talk about like upsetty spaghetti acting. Fucking go play fucking Beyond Two Souls. William Dafoe stops giving a fuck halfway through that game.
I forgot he's
Please
in that game.
Don't.
Do not want to finish that game. The ending of that game sucks.
Oh.
It's fun. I liked it. I beat it.
I want to finish that game.
You play on the Don't Steam Deck, and you get to do like this in the Steam Deck.
I get to do what on the Steam Deck?
You get to do this with the Steam Deck. Literally, it raised it up and down. When I played Heavy Rain, I had to take the Steam Deck and like shake it like I was an idiot.
Oh, I want to do that.
You all got to play on your Steam Deck, Mike. You can now play it on your new PS5.
Yeah, PS5.
Don't sully the PS5 with that. I'll pay you.
Man, I just can't imagine the pain to be going through putting that iron to their body when they're trying to burn their wounds, cauterize their wounds. I've been hit by an ironish thing once. Yeah, Tiffany. Well, so one time, Tiffany. Sure, it was. Was ironing my shirt for me, and I tried to.
Yeah, don't do it.
And I tried to sneak by her to grab a Hostess.
It was a steamer.
Yeah, she was steaming my shirts, and I got too close, and she steamed me, and it fucking hurt.
Was that ho ho worth it?
Yeah, was it?
It was a cupcake, madam.
Then it definitely wasn't.
Well, that's a scar, too.
Yeah, I still got the scar, but I remember it just burned my skin off. I'm like...
I peeled a couple layers of skin
off. And then we didn't have any burn cream either. Now I do, by the way. There's always burn cream in this house now after that incident. I will not not have it.
I felt
so bad. So I had to get in the car, drive my ass to Walmart to go buy burn cream, and I had to hold my shirt off of my side so it wouldn't touch my burn. So then I got home.
I felt so bad. But that's what you get!
You know what? I've never put Hostess over in that spot ever again. We also never bothered to steam any of my shirts ever again.
I was steaming your shirt.
I know, then we returned that evil thing.
We afterwards. Did, because I thought there would like be some sort of a protector, you know, on it.
To not burn to humans?
You burned one time and you're like that evil fucking thing.
It hurt! Steamer. It hurt a lot, baby.
Evil goddamn.
Yeah, I've been burned enough times by the molder at my job. That doesn't mean I get to get rid of it, Mike.
You can. You just tell them I quit. And they'll put you on a different machine. Nothing, my joke. She's just silently cursing me.
I'm surprised they're not yelling from downstairs.
I love that joke. Hey, if they had their way, Phoebe, you would be living there.
I know.
Instead of being pizza on a bagel, be when work is downstairs, you're working all the time. Something like that. Take the pizza bagel commercial and put your own words in.
Oh, Bagel Bites. No, I want some, you bastard.
Ooh, Bagel Bites.
Well, hey, just drive an hour one way, Phoebe, right? Is that where the nearest Walmart is?
Nothing is open right now, Mike. It's
Hey, Walmart's still open here till 11, where I'm at.
Shut up, Mike.
I'll FedEx them for you.
Yeah.
24-hour Walmart. Where did you go?
We don't actually have any 24-hour Walmarts either.
Right? No, we don't.
No, it's fucking COVID's fault.
That, they just use it as an excuse.
Yeah, White Castle's 24 hours again, though, over here.
Is it?
Yeah, here it is.
Ooh.
It's the only thing that's 24 hours, I'm pretty sure, around this area, which is, like, there were a lot, but then COVID, everything went away, and I was like, White Castle, like, okay.
You can't go inside, but you can still order.
Yeah, but you do want to go inside of White Castle anyway.
Well, yeah, all the drunks were going at 2 a.m. Or 2:30 yeah, when the bars closed, they go get their snack attack.
Yeah, you don't want to have
Denny's.
There's a Denny's near the Mall America.
It's okay. Wait till I get a Whataburger. Then that'll be the next thing.
Whataburgers are all right. I had one when we were in New Mexico.
Well, no, that's what it is here. Whenever fucking that's what it is in Texas. In Texas, whenever fucking the bars close, because the bars close at 1, Whataburger is always people's best bet.
Okay.
Taco Bell's my drunk food. I like Taco Bell when I'm drunk.
We have.
Not really. Not anymore.
We have a Taco Bell that serves alcohol.
Ooh, what kind of alcohol? What? Margaritas?
No, they put liquor in the Baja Blast Freezies.
Oh,
delicious!
Wow, I'm surprised they do that in your state.
That's awesome.
I am too.
So Smecker in the confessional.
So back to Boondocks.
Hey, you're missing. First, you have Defoe checking the fingerprint when he finds out Rocco's like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then you have Defoe at the bar, at the gay bar, when he's saying things I will not say, but. But I just wanted like your favorite line in that bar, what the bartender says to him. I can smell you.
Oh yes.
You love that line.
I do. I don't know why. Phew, I can smell you.
And then drunk Defoe wanders off and goes to the church, to confessional.
You know, that shows my gaydar is off. I did not legit catch that was a fucking goddamn gay bar.
It is, right?
It is.
It's totally a gay bar. Okay. I'm watching it now, and like, yeah, that's totally a gay bar, but I never caught that the first time.
It's because you watched the movie quickly the first time.
That's fair, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's probably one of the places filmed in Toronto, which is kind of sad because Man Ray and other stuff exists in Boston. I don't know why they didn't just film at a gay bar in Boston. Or maybe they did. I don't know.
Maybe it was too expensive.
Run out of money.
They only had $6 million.
Which is not a lot for a movie.
No. That's why there weren't that many stunts in here. And I'm guessing they didn't have stunt doubles.
The confessional stuff is funny. Especially when Defoe's like, the Irishmen, they're good. The Italian, he's an idiot. That was just funny.
Oh, Teresa was like, would they hurt anybody? The Italian man, maybe. And he's like, oh, fuck.
It's a really good scene. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. And then that would lead to them teaming up with Defoe. Mm-hmm. Because he's telling the priest that. He's like, I like these guys. I want to help them.
And the priest is going, oh, God may have mercy on my soul.
Rocco was like, God works in mysterious ways. And he's like, what the fuck does that mean?
And then this is when they call Defoe and tell him their plan, that they're going to go attack the Italian mobster. I'm assuming that there's like a scene that wasn't here that should have been, where it shows that the mobsters knew they were coming. I felt like something was missing.
Wait, what?
Because they tell Defoe they're going to go attack the Italian mobster's boss house.
Yes.
And then Defoe is in the bathroom talking to the same guy we saw earlier, where he's like, yeah, he's ready for them, that they're coming.
Yes.
And I feel like there's something missing where the mafia finds out that they're coming and how they're captured.
They don't know they're coming.
They capture him pretty damn quick.
I know, but he thinks Rocco is going around killing people, so what would you do if you think somebody's going around killing mob people? You hide up in your house with a bunch of people protecting you.
I know, but I just felt like there was a scene missing. Like, we didn't get a scene of them getting fighting or something.
Yeah, he missed it. He wants the scene where they break in and they fight.
Yeah, but instead you just see them tied up in a basement all bloody.
It's too expensive!
Probably what it was.
It's cheaper to just show them already bloody.
I don't like this part of the movie.
I don't really.
You don't like the Rocco scene?
No, I don't like any of the stuff in that house in the final part.
But Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe.
That was kind of funny.
Baby.
Especially when you made the comment like, oh, the wig glue. He didn't put wig glue, and I just started laughing, and I'm like, damn it. He's right. was funny. And the guy's like, oh, and the wig comes off, he's like, oh shit.
He didn't tuck, he didn't put wig glue on, the makeup was on point.
I think the funnier of that, though, is that he does all that, and he like, beats the shit out of the guy, and then he puts the wig back on and, like, just kind of, like, keeps going.
The only reason he's still alive is because El Duce doesn't kill women or children, and he thought he was a woman.
I did laugh when Defoe goes downstairs, and the other guy's like, hey, do I get a turn, too? And he's like, you not see him carrying the gun? Like, nope. I don't care what she looks like. If she's got a gun in her hand, I'm not gonna go, oh, hey, baby. I'm like, what the
fuck? Maybe that's what they do for foreplay. Who knows?
I don't think so.
How do you know?
I don't know.
Mike, don't kink shame here.
Yeah. Let's not kink shame. This isn't the sock guy.
Something, Don Corneo, something.
Don
Corneo. Oh, gotcha.
I don't like them being tied up in the basement. I don't like Rocco getting his finger blown off and then getting killed. I get the point of it is to take everything that's been fun for the viewer and fun for the Saints and all of a sudden put them in actual danger for the first time. Like, but I just don't like it.
A lot of the movie up to this point was kind of dumb luck for them. They start out extreme amateurs. By the strip club, they might have something going on, but even then, Rocco's the idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always something that proves that they're way out of their depths, and now they're trying to hit up a mob boss's home. Something was bound to happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they couldn't have possibly thought he'd just be there by himself after they were taking shots at the people in the mob.
Because they were just too confident.
Oh, cocky, yeah. But, cocky is the word you're looking
for. And then the mob boss drives off, which I thought was weird, but then it makes sense because otherwise you wouldn't have the ending.
He drives off?
Yeah, he gets in the car and he leaves. He's like, a dude's chasing the bush somewhere. I'm leaving. And he just drives off.
You,
I'm like,
you four stay here. And if anybody comes in and shoot him, and it's like, you know El Duce. The boogeyman that your family has been talking about for 30 years is coming, and you think four guys is going to stop this monstrosity of a human being?
He didn't care. He just left.
He didn't care. He was hiding like the coward he is.
Yeah, they were just blockades at this point.
But God, this is the part where Tiff had to look away. When they're in the cell and Flannery breaks, he gets his foot free because he breaks like the, I don't know, some of the chair. But when they kick Norman's arm and he breaks it to get him out of the thing, I can't look at it either.
I don't like stuff like that when they break bones and chop off fingers and stuff like that. I don't.
Yeah, too much for me. But hey, I mean, that would work.
I mean, it's not like they actually showed it.
No, but you know what's happening.
You know what's happening.
What's supposed to be happening.
And I think they get, you hear it.
Yeah, they did a good job with the sound effect.
Yeah. And then they kill a guy and they start praying.
I did like how the hitman is going to come in and kill him when he hears the prayer. And I didn't catch it until the second time I watched this movie. At one point when they say the prayer, and Rock is like, teach me the prayer. And he's like, it's a prayer passed down by our family.
So that's how
Duce knows it's their prayer.
Their father.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit.
I didn't catch the first. I've seen this movie multiple times. It wasn't until I watched it the second time because Tiff made me watch this movie twice before the recording.
You're welcome.
And then I caught it the second time.
We were going to watch it as her, but he went.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. Both parents are absolutely amazing because you have the Duke, who teaches them this prayer that they always say to their killings. But early in the movie, when they're in the police precinct, and Willem Dafoe asks them, what languages do you guys speak? And it's Russian, Gaelic, French, Italian, German, Spanish.
Yeah.
They speak like everything under the sun for no other reason than
their mom taught them. And they work at a meat packing plant.
It's okay. I think the funnier part is you have him know all these different languages, so it makes sense Norman Reedus sometimes forget that he's Irish and doesn't talk with an Irish accent.
When was Blade 2, Joe? Early 2000s, right?
Blade 2? Yeah.
Norman Reedus isn't also in Blade 2.
Yes, he is. 01 or 02.
Okay. Yeah, that was before he got famous. Until Walking Dead.
Yeah, 2002 was Blade.
Okay, because Walking Dead is when his fame blows up.
Just stupid because he was good before then.
No, Norman Reedus was famous because of this, because he was well known in Blade, and people were actually mad that they made him like the goofy, like when they had that dumb twist at the end. Yeah, people were actually mad about that because they love Norman Reedus.
I didn't know who he was. I saw Blade 2 first, and I saw this because superheroes. Okay,
superheroes.
And I do like the stuff when you have the trial, and I thought the trial was really good. Where you all of a sudden you see the mob bosses at trial, you have them just throw their guns over the metal detector and there's no guards. I thought that was like, okay.
Well, okay. Did you notice who pulls the fire alarm?
Yeah, I know they're working with the cops.
I did. But why did they pull the fire alarm? So the rest of the people in the building left?
Yeah, so all the innocents could get out. Or the vast majority of the innocents.
Okay, there you go. That's what I thought.
Okay, that makes more sense now.
Isn't that what I told you?
Yes, but I was still. We also made a joke saying, "Well, it's the '90s; you could do that." Where they had nobody to throw it over the
some witnesses to spread the message.
The fire alarm.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know there had to be some witnesses, but also, like, I don't know if you caught this, but probably did. But when they're in the court, the one guy's like, "He's gonna be the next Gotti." I started laughing because I like that joke. Because John Gotti was the Don around this time for the Gabino family. I think in the '90s, it got off two or three. He got off three times, I think, or two times.
Good God.
So it's going to be his third.
Yeah, it was two times he got off. And the third time, he thought he was going to get off, but then they whisper in his ear, "You shouldn't have talked so much in that lady's apartment." And then he realized, oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's good. I love that fucking story. Because here's your fun history lesson nobody asked for. John Gotti, the mob boss, they ended up putting bugs in this restaurant where he was, and he was talking. But what he would do is he would trick the cops. He'd go in the building, then he'd go out the back door in the alley, go in an apartment building, and go up to this one woman's apartment and use her apartment to talk. But what happened is somehow they figured it out. I think they watched him do it, or somebody told them something. So then they bugged her apartment, and then they got him to admit to all these different murders and things that he did because he didn't realize they bugged the apartment. That's why I took down John Gotti.
Interesting.
So, 'cause there were two times he was in court. Scared off one guy who he beat the shit out of years ago, terrified him to come forward. So because they're gonna kill my family if I testify against him and me. So he didn't testify. And in another case, they bought one of the jurors. So that's how John Gotti got off. But John Gotti was an idiot. So, but yeah, that's what that joke is. And I just appreciate that because it's something that I feel like also kind of fit the time.
A long explanation for a joke. That's fine.
But also fit the time because late 90s would have been closer to when Gotti was arrested and things. I think it was the 90s. So, Faye, why don't you tell us what happens in the end besides me telling the joke?
Well,
that was.
Yes.
After pulling the fire alarm and getting the majority of people out, our lovely three saints decide to finally kill Papa Joe in front of a live studio audience. And then we get a bunch of interviews by local Bostonians, actual interviews, asking people what they personally think about the Saints. And I love the guy who's just like, there should be one in every city.
I love him.
So where did I just sign up? I want to fuck some shit up.
Were those just random places in Boston, too, they were filming?
I'm pretty sure they were just random people. Like, oh, we're filming a movie. Can you, like, just do a little ad-lib real quick?
Okay. I do like the court stuff. I do like when they start doing the whole, like, you know, saying the prayer. Like, or not the prayer, but, like, we want your corrupted! We want your criminals!
We are on one side of the line. We don't care about the people with the minor problems, the minor sins, but if you do cross the line, you enter our territory.
It's a good scene, and you are in that last, if you talk more of the interviewing people, that's stupid and funny.
Yeah, but it's like it has a very Trump feel. Like you have the people that are like against the Saints are the Trumpers.
It feels like it sometimes, yeah.
What? It did.
Well, you're just thinking of the TikTok that you watch where they're like, oh, Biden said this, and there were Trump quotes. And then when they tell them, oh, wait, sorry, I meant Trump, not Biden. And they're like, oh, that's okay then. You can tell about actors.
I have the fucking coolest thing to tell y'all. I'll tell you after the podcast.
Oh. Yeah,
is it bad that I love that prayer so much?
I love it.
Oh, and Phoebe, I don't know if Tiff said, but she's wearing a Boston hoodie right now in Boondock Saints pants.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Boondock Saint pants exist?
Yeah, they got their faces all over them and the cross. And I'll take a picture and I'll send it to you.
Oh, please do. Thank you.
They're specially ordered, I'm pretty sure.
They are specially ordered.
That's awesome.
That's how much she loves this movie, okay?
For thee, my lord, for thee. Power hath descended forth from thy hand, and that our feet may swiftly carry out thy command. So we shall flow a river forth to thee, and teeming with soul shall it ever be. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Well done.
All right. And hey, 10 years later, we got a sequel to this movie. Yeah.
Not my favorite.
Which I know everybody hates.
And now we're getting another one.
I can't.
We'll see how well that goes.
We'll see if it happens. So they've been talking about making a third one for a long time. We've talked about it on this podcast with Ken and Bill, and I think there was some controversy too with the director, with Troy Duffy, where he burned the money. Essentially, that he got enough money, but he just wasted it. But
it seems like it's somebody else now, because they're, from what I read earlier, it's something like they're reprising their roles, but it's a soft reboot. I don't know if they're passing the torch.
Yeah, from what I was reading, they're passing the torch. They're just going to be involved in it, but
who's going to be involved in it?
The Sean Patrick Norman Reedus, but they're not going to be the main characters.
Oh, they're not.
No.
Ooh.
So. Every franchise must continue forever because Hollywood has run completely out of ideas.
Yes. I mean, I guess there's a book series coming out now from Troy Duffy, because that's all you have the rights to.
Fucking what?
I mean, I know Phoebe's made this joke before, but you called them the Boston superhero.
Yeah, if you're ever gonna go into that, in a way, Boston only gets like three superheroes. You can count it as these are two of them, and then the third one is the Tick. Or it's the Boondock Saints, the Tick, and Tom Brady.
You know what the problem is? You are 100% accurate with the Tom Brady part, and I wish you weren't.
What about the Tick? Yeah. How'd that happen?
How did he become a Boston superhero?
Yeah.
He was made to be a mascot for New England Comics. That's how he started.
I hate...
Like they were selling the comics directly through New England Comics, which is a Boston-exclusive comic book brand or franchise. And then it just became so famous that they started selling it nationwide. And they got a cartoon on Fox, and the rest is history.
A movie and they got a live action TV show at one point too.
Twice.
Twice.
And yeah, both of them got canceled pretty quickly.
That's two seasons long, and it's really good.
I've never watched anything with the Tick. I always thought it was stupid, but I did have a Tick toy. I'm pretty sure I had a figure.
It is stupid. That's the best part. His catchphrase is "spoon."
No, thank you. But oh, I have a joke, the Tom Brady thing you mentioned. So I
do.
You're welcome. When I worked the Super Bowl one year when it was in the Twin Cities, because I worked for FedEx, and so we were there, and I remember we had some woman that was working with us that was from Boston. She's like, Tom Brady's the best, and I'm like, fuck Tom Brady, fuck the Patriot. I didn't say that word, but like, and I'll never forget, people came in, and I was working there before the Super Bowl, and they were, this is when the Patriots played the Eagles. And they were, I remember some guy, they were shipping stuff back and forth. Somebody bought like a framed Tom Brady picture and we had to pack it. And they were like, you know, making this big deal about it. And I remember thinking to myself, I hope they lose, you asshole. And I was so happy when they lost.
I know a Tom Brady joke, but if I say it, it's going to sound like Rocco trying to say it, or I'm going to be trying to remember the words and shit.
but I'll just never forget that, where people were just like, so, and I was just so happy when they lost. But that's what it reminded me of. But I forgot that, yeah, he's a pretty much superhero to Boston, isn't he, at this point?
Up until, yeah. I don't know how it is right now, just because of Deflategate, but...
Deflategate, I mean...
Yeah, Tom Brady was the
third time they cheated and got caught. That's all.
And got caught.
If you have Spygate, you have Deflategate. I know you have some other... I know there's got to be another one, too.
Well, I guess we have four superheroes, because we also have Big Poppy.
Who's Big Poppy?
He's a Red Sox player.
Oh, that's why I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. Hmm. I don't follow baseball at all.
You don't follow
sports. I don't follow any sports, but I know these names.
Because well, you're from Boston.
Okay. Yeah, this is true. Kind of like how I'm obligated to say that the Yankees suck.
You're obligated.
So I think we should go to any last thing you guys want to say about the movie before we go to Shelf Stacker Box?
I guess not.
And Tiffany,
I even have more Boston questions, honestly.
Tiffany, do you have Boston questions?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I have a question. Why don't they ever eat any clam chowder in this movie? Come on now.
I swear to God. They don't eat any clam chowder, and they don't have any lobster rolls either.
That was the first thing I did when we got to Boston, was try to find clam chowder and lobster rolls. That was my whole goal when we went there, and I told Tiffany I am going to have clam chowder, and I had it every day.
That was my idea, though.
I know that's the big joke, that's all people in Boston eat, but honestly, it's a lot of pizza places. You go to Pizzeria Regina's or Sparrow's or Vega's is really good.
We went to one pizza place in that town that was like named after a sausage.
A sausage?
It was a town that had the double-decker Walmart. I don't remember the name of the town. Okay, the Walmart we went, I thought a double-decker Walmart, but the Walmart we went to, Marble? The first,
no.
It wasn't Marble. The first floor was a parking lot.
Yeah.
You had to ride an escalator up to get to the actual Walmart.
Okay, wait a minute. I was going to say, because I know of a double-decker Target that's built like that, and that's Randall.
No, this was a Walmart.
It was like 20 minutes from Salem. I can't remember.
But I remember the town being like sausage or something, where I made a joke about sausage, I feel like. It's been months. I remember there was a pizzeria. If you're
20 minutes from Salem, that would be like Manchester on the Sea or Gloucester or...
Wasn't it only 20 minutes half hour from Salem?
It wasn't terribly far.
Yeah, I do know what he said. We were in Salem when we went to the pizza place and it was awful.
No, it wasn't... Oh, yes, there was one pizza place in Salem that was really damn bad. I'm going to figure out the name of this town.
Yeah, you guys should have gone to Regina's or...
Saugus. It was called Saugus.
Saugus.
Yes.
Wait, well, you have, like, Polinari's? Because Polinari's is the best.
No, that pizza place was fine. That was in Saugus. The one that was bad in Salem, it was just like we both got sick right after it, and then she wanted to go home.
Yeah. Which I regret, because the next day we went back and it was raining.
And I didn't get to walk to my lighthouse in the rain.
Here's the problem. You ate in Salem. There was probably some type of witch shit in there.
Man.
In this restaurant, I firmly believe it, because he ordered pizza and it was like soggy and drippy.
It was, oh god,
no, they did black magic on that.
It was an Italian pizzeria / ramen restaurant, I think.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like Italian.
I'm not joking.
/ Japanese. I was looking, and then like literally 50 feet away was like a regular like bar and grill place that he could have taken me to. And he's like, well, you said you were hungry. There's a regular food place right there!
You said okay. I didn't force you in the door.
Like, there was two other places that we could have gone to if Tiffany would have just looked up and been like, I don't want to go here.
But no, Salem was freaking great. I really liked Salem. Salem was
awesome for the most part.
I also we went and saw the house from Hocus Pocus while we were there. Where an old lady was glaring at people that were sitting on her porch.
She was judging everybody.
It's great. We got to see
a famous house.
Yeah.
Well, she was little old lady dressed in white on a white porch on a, in a white house.
In a white chair.
In a white chair. I only saw her because I zoomed in on the picture I took, and I was like, there's somebody sitting there watching us.
Maybe it was a ghost.
She was there. She was like sipping her coffee and just watching us.
Also, Salem was where I got scammed and had to cancel my credit card.
Yeah, two.
Three.
What?
I went to...
You're lucky I have my bank card.
I am lucky. I went to pay for parking, and it took me to a website. But, like, I typed in the price I was paying parking, it took me to a fake website, and I didn't catch it.
Three times he didn't catch it.
So.
God.
And I fucked up all my cards.
His mother freaked out.
So I had to go get new cards.
Because he used one of her credit cards. So she freaked out because she had to cancel her card.
She was very unhappy with me. Very pissed off. But
next time, we're only taking the train and buses everywhere.
Well, that was just parking in Salem. You have to take a car to Salem, I think.
We had no choice.
Just bus.
But to rent a car.
Yeah, I'm renting a car when I go to Nashville, too. So
we're going to, where are we going?
Knoxville.
Knoxville. And then pigeon something.
But I'm trying to think what else I want to say about Boston real fast. Why? Because I'm on the Boston topic right now.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I whatever the pizza place was in Sausage, it was a good pizza place across from the double decker one. So
to say Lynn or Revere, it's all the exact same place. No, sorry, don't say Revere, say Revere.
But I remember it was decent pizza. It was
good pizza.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. It was just the one in Salem that was bad. But in Salem, it just, I love the vibe of Salem. Like, one, everybody's like dressed up in gothic, and that was freaking great. I love that part. But also, like, I remember, like, I took a picture of one of the satanic candles to send to Ken. I thought it was cool.
That's great.
Salem was awesome. Like, that. Like
the Witch Museum.
The Witch Museum was good. The Wax Witch Museum was fucking garbage.
That was stupid.
I haven't been
to the
Wax one yet.
Oh, there's a, don't. It's not worth whatever money I paid for my 5-minute walk. I wanted my money back.
It was like $12.
It was not worth it.
And they were like, oh, there's a graveyard out back. I was like, you know what? Graveyards aren't tourist spots.
And it's right by the, it is in Salem. And it's right by the pizza place. So we came out of that museum, then we ended up at the pizza place.
But the graveyard gave me an inky feeling. Like, I'm not.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was going to, my uncle has been to the, one of my other uncles has been to that witch graveyard. Passed one way through the archway and instantly turned around. There is some crazy bad juju there.
And people were like taking pictures. Oh, this is so cool. I was like, you know what? I'm into that stuff, but that's not for me. Like traipsing on people's graves and taking pictures. That's weird. I saw the Wax Museum and that was stupid, but the Witch Museum was cool.
Yeah, where they have like, where they kind of like reenact it through the sculptures they have in the wall, and they have like the audio plays. And I remember she mentioned some witch movie with Winona Ryder.
Right, The Crucible?
And the woman knew exactly.
The Crucible's fantastic.
Yeah.
The woman knew exactly what she thought. She's like, that's a great movie. It has a lot of meaning. And I'm like, I know what you guys are talking about. But I'm like, this whole town. Just,
it's a good movie.
You haven't seen The Crucible with Daniel Day-Lewis?
No.
Oh, you have to see it.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Eh. That doesn't sell me on it. But
is Winona Ryder in it?
Yeah, that don't sell me on it either. She's in Beetlejuice. She's in a bad, bad movie.
Oh, shit.
Wait, what?
He doesn't like
Beetlejuice. I hate that movie.
I hate Beetlejuice.
You haven't listened to that episode ever?
And not yet, it seems.
They tear it apart and ruin it for me.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. It's okay, Tiff. Me and Phoebe will take you to go see Beetlejuice 2.
Yay!
Yeah. I mean, that was one of my curse movies for the longest time, so I'm willing to see that second one.
Let's do it.
All right, let's try anything else in Boston that I want to say that we did. We didn't really do a whole too much in Boston.
It was centered around meeting Robert Englund.
Yeah, standing in line for 2 hours.
Sorry. Hey, I stood in line for 2 hours, too.
Prime time.
To get my picture, almost.
It wasn't that long.
It was an hour and a half.
It was less than that.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Whatever.
Because you left, I went and stood in line. You got your picture, came back, talked to me, disappeared again, went to the hotel, changed your shoes, and I was still in the exact same fucking spot in that line.
My feet hurt.
So did mine, baby. So did
Tiff, I waited 2.5 hours to meet Kevin Eastman. I understand.
How long did you wait to meet Ashley, what's her name?
Ashley Eckstein, 2 hours for Ahsoka. But the line moved. I didn't stand in one spot. The line actually moved. Robert Englund, I watched idiots in front of me go get their stuff signed while I stood there. Going, that's nice.
I didn't wait that long for Tony Todd. He was super cool.
We also got there early. So
for Tony Todd?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. But let's go to Shelf Stacker Box. And Tiffany, why don't you go first?
What am I doing?
Shelf Stacker Box.
Oh, Shelf. 100% Shelf. I will watch this movie a million times. It doesn't quite hold up with the jokes and the slurs. Shut up. This is my Shelf Stacker Box. Be quiet.
Should I mute myself?
I will mute you. Yeet you across the room. But it will still be a Shelf for me. I will make Mike watch it again and again and again.
I'll be in trouble if it comes to theaters.
I hope so. That would be so much fun. We'd be going. Oh, we will. And I'll wear my pants and my shirt and my Boston hoodie. Woo!
I'd rather see this in theaters than Titanic again.
Ugh. Oh, Titanic.
And Joe, what about you?
I'm going to go ahead and put this on the Shelf as well. I actually had a pretty good time with it. And I actually wouldn't mind watching it again, especially with all the like stuff that you could... You can miss a lot in this movie if you just watch it for the first time and don't watch it again. So, yeah, I think I'll probably watch it again in a second, maybe even a third time, too.
Okay. And Phoebe?
Oh, it's absolutely on the Shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of obligated to say that because of originally from Boston, but at the
You're
end of the
superhero.
Day... Yeah, it's not the best movie. I'm willing to say that. It's got a lot of weird cuts in it. Sometimes the soundtrack doesn't hit, but... At the end of the day, there's an energy to this movie that just pulls you in and keeps you there.
Agreed.
I'll go last. I'm going to put it in the stack. So, hey, better than what my brain was thinking of earlier. So,
you were going to say the box.
I was going to, but after us talked about it and I'm thinking about, like, I did have fun. I did laugh. The movie just didn't age well for me.
It was a good time to watch it.
It was more exciting than some of the other movies you watch on this podcast. So, yes. Better than Blair Witch.
Shut up. You were playing Marvel Snap the whole goddamn time.
I know. I was still bored.
Whatever. You ruined the experience for yourself.
God.
Oh, weren't you going to say, Phoebe?
How can you hate Blair Witch?
Yeah.
Easy. I knew about it. I knew it wasn't real, unfortunately.
It would have been better if he knew it, thought it was real.
Yeah. Or he thought even the myth was real.
I knew it wasn't real and I enjoyed it.
I don't know.
I thought everybody who thought it was real was stupid. I was like, they play the credits at the end. They don't say these kids are currently missing.
That made the movie better.
It would have.
Like they try to act like they were. So.
I'm surprised I didn't fall into the trap, actually.
All right, and Phoebe, where can people find you at?
Hi, I'm the Let's Play Princess. You can find me on Twitch and YouTube underneath that name or on the website that I'm still going to call Twitter under the LP Princess.
Hey, until the URL doesn't, if you type in Twitter, you are directed to Twitter. Until that changes, it's always going to be Twitter.
Good. Xehanort hasn't won yet.
Shut up.
So I made the joke on Facebook that I was saying that Elon Musk is going to be the next Republican candidate once Trump is finally gone.
Oh, my God.
Oh, don't say that.
I could see it happening, couldn't you?
It's going to happen.
So we're going to end up with that idiot as a president.
Yeah, people
I love that we were all on board initially when it was just SpaceX and everything. And then he had to say one thing and we all flipped a switch and became anti-Elon.
I wasn't a fan of him. I didn't really know anything. I'm not a fan of anyone that's a billionaire because if you're a billionaire,
they know everything.
Yes, usually. We don't have a real life Batman, so. Or Bruce Wayne. Or Tony Stark, even.
They both thought they know everything, so I don't know what you're talking about.
But as I made the joke to Rob on Facebook, I said, like, Elon Musk, like, hey, he's a genius, you know, he bought a company for way more than it's worth and tanked the value of it. So,
Mike, we might not have real Batman or real Iron Man, but you know what we could have?
Real Lex Luthor?
Real Boondock Saints.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I guess for that. All right, and if you enjoyed this episode, there's over 600, that feels so good to say, other episodes of this podcast. As I said before, we do Patreon polls every month. This was a Patreon poll, so go over, join our Patreon. Little as a dollar, you can vote. We have 1 to 2 polls every month. You also get bonus video episodes sometimes, so you get to affect the show. You get to see some extra content of just the raw, unedited video footage of some episodes here and there. Not this one. But so definitely go check that out if you want to support. If you want, we also have a Discord. Please join our Discord. See the link in the show notes. And want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro creator, Helena, at Hell Hasphere. You'll see a link to her link tree. Check her out on Instagram, TikTok, Twitch. And also, give a shout out to a gamer looks at 40 with Bill Tucker. He's on the show quite often. If you go check out his show, he's back from hiatus. So he's doing all Final Fantasy right now. And check out Nintendo Main Podcast and Nomads of Fantasy Podcast. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok. Why it's still there. And YouTube, audio only, and I think that's everything I need to say. Oh, and review us wherever you get your podcasts, please. iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. Just review me anywhere you can, you know. And that's everything I need to say. We will see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.